All right, welcome back. Whew, sugar, yeah. You can offset that with caffeine, and then it kind of levels it off. Nothing wrong with that. All right, why don't we go ahead and open in a word of prayer, and then we'll get going. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for this time that we have in the second session. This is a critical time, and we just pray that we can get the most out of it. Pray for understanding, clarity in the Word, and I just pray that you continue to protect our church, continue to expand us, and continue to keep us focused on you. I'd like to ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So here we are back to our study on knowledge and what it means and what it takes and all those things. And what we're seeing is there's a couple different kinds of knowledge. One of them is gnosis, which anyone can have. And the other one is epinosis, which I'm going to say right now only the believer can have. This is something that is spiritual in nature. And what it requires is God's intervention for you to have it. And that's kind of a little preview of where we're going with this. But epinosis is so critical for the believer, because without it, you saw the effects. They're all negative. Knowledge by itself needs an offset of humility. And the only way we can receive that humility in addition to knowledge is through epinosis knowledge. That's combined with the Holy Spirit. So we'll see that, but I just wanted to point that out. And not to mention, you know, there's so many things that we can learn and do because of those things we learn, but I think the most important thing that we're missing out on is glorifying God in what we do. You can sure learn a lot, you can memorize a lot, which is all a good thing, but why not glorify God with those things that you learn? And that's where this is getting. You know, I think an area where we're also getting into is if you're just learning and it's not doing anything for you besides giving you a lot of knowledge, where's the glorification of God? It's just not there. So we don't want to do that, but we want to see where or what this exactly this epinosis is, because that's what I wanted to take you to. And here's the word. You can obviously see the word gnosis at the end there, and you can see it has the word epi. That's a preposition on the front of it right here. So it's different from just knowledge, right? I just showed you a verse with gnosis in it, which was translated knowledge. It's different. It's got epi on the front of it. What do you think? It's just three letters. So what? Those are important letters. Those are very important letters. Well, what makes it so special? And I think the first thing to note is 1 Timothy 2:3-4 is that God desires that all believers receive it. I think that's one of the reasons what puts it on a higher caliber. It says, "This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Well, there's our word, knowledge, but now we're getting the content of what that knowledge has to be right here. Truth. So this is something that God desires us to do. And I'll tell you, if we were to define the spiritual life, I would say the spiritual life is you doing what God desires you to do in a nutshell. If we can take the word of God and say, okay, God wants me to do this and we do it, guess what? We're being faithful Christians who are going to be successful. There's no doubt. If we're obedient and we're faithful to the Word of God and we're carrying this out, well, this is one of those areas. And if God wants us, look at it, it says verse 4, who desires all men to do two things. He wants everybody to be saved. In other words, there's not just a group that are saved and a group that are not saved that He's chosen. He desires all men be saved and also to come to the knowledge of the truth. So this is a two-part process that God desires all men to do. Now, we know that not all come to every one of these conclusions, and that's a sad thing, but the reality is He desires it. And I think that's important because, you know, when I see something that God desires, okay, this is what He wants for us. This is what He wants for you. This is what He wants. And He always wants things for us for what? Benefit. Benefit. So there's only good things. So that's a good verse to keep in mind. And I would say if it's His desire, it should be your desire, right? So here's the word that I wanted to mention here, this word truth. The word is aletheia. It's a noun. Of course, it's translated truth here. But it's not just any truth. Like red is red, blue is blue. It's not just any old truth, right? This is a very specific truth. And it's a truth that is from God. It's a truth that is revealed to us from God. And we know where that revelation is. It's the Word. The Word of God. That's how God has communicated to us. And guess what? That's the only way. Well, you could say, well, you could look out at the physical realm and say, okay, that leads me to a creator. I get that completely, right? You can actually come to the conclusion based on the world around you that, okay, there is an order to things, and that leads me to an author of things, which could lead you to God. Yes, God is, I think, in everything, everywhere, not physically, but His creation is here, and we can deduce things from that. But His revelation about who He is and what He desired to communicate to us is through His Word. It's through His Word. And that's the truth that this is talking about. And also, another thing I want to mention about this, it's revealed through His written revelation and learned through the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're going to see here shortly. That's another reason, component of the pieces of this puzzle that we need to take into account. It's revealed, it's written, but it's only received through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. And I'll show you a verse on that here shortly. And so what we're beginning to see is that knowledge, or at least let's say epinosis knowledge. Epinosis. This is the knowledge. Epi is a word that means above or over. Gnosis is knowledge. So that's why you get the above or the over knowledge. The knowledge that is over and above the knowledge that we can have in normal fashion here, right? So obviously, this is a knowledge that is from God. That makes it above any normal knowledge. And it's also one of these things that He desires for us that we see here. And I think another thing that makes it special is that, well, at least in this form, if we're receiving it, we're also receiving the benefits that's being communicated by it. By it. So if you're not receiving epinosis, then guess what? You're not receiving those benefits from the Word of God. Because I guarantee you, you've met a lot of people who know a lot of things about the Bible, but they don't not have any transformation of thought, and they're not living the spiritual life. A bunch of gnosis, but no epinosis to have an inward transformation and that renewal that we started with at the beginning of last service. And that's really what this is all about. Epinosis is what transforms your mind. It renews it. That's the transformation, right? I think Jesus gives us insight into this matter when He was first telling His disciples about the Holy Spirit. He was telling them, remember, He was leaving. He was saying, I'm going to leave you with the Holy Spirit. One of those verses is in John 16:13. Look what He says here. He says, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide or teach you in all truth. So what we're doing is we're linking up knowledge. Knowledge of what? Knowledge of truth. And here you're seeing it's the Holy Spirit that is leading us. The word there is can also mean to teach or to guide or to lead in all truth. So the Holy Spirit is a part of this puzzle that we must have helping us. That's what the Holy Spirit is, right? It's the helper, the paraclete. The one that comes alongside and helps us. So spiritual information requires a spiritual intervention, and that spiritual intervention is the Holy Spirit, God Himself. I prefer the word teach. Another verse for this is John 14:26, if you want to write it down. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So it's not us that is coming up with this knowledge that is spiritual in nature. Notice that it's from God. It's God that makes it possible for us to learn, and it's God completing the process in the believer's life. So, which is why I think we're commanded in a couple places. One of them is to be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. And then we're commanded to walk by means of the Spirit. There's specific reasons for that. And you know, we can get into a long study on what it means to be filled and to walk with the Spirit. You know, that's a good subject to understand, but I think you can at least know and understand up to this point that the filling and the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit, has a direct correlation to sin. We can at least, you know, clear the air and say, this is a sin issue. If you're going to walk in the Spirit, or you're going to walk in the flesh, remember, there's only two ways to go. And the one thing that disrupts that walk is sin. But like we do at the beginning of every class, we have that cleansing that we do, that confession, that forgiveness, that constant forgiveness. Because guess what? Even though you were positionally forgiven at salvation, and you are in Christ, you're saved, the fact that we continue to sin means what? We need that washing, that continual cleansing. Doesn't mean you lose your salvation, but what it means is that you can have that continual growth and that positive upward flow in the Christian life. And so this is part of that flow. The Spirit is critical in the learning process right here. This is the verses where we get the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. These are two of the verses anyways. So it's very critical that we understand this, because it's not something that we're conjuring up or we're coming up with on our own. It's God. It's specifically related to God. So that's where this is going, and this is the main reason why I think some people who grew up in the church are now turned off with the church. I think because they were not receiving epinosis, the Holy Spirit was not involved in that process, and they weren't seeing any change of heart, change of mind. They weren't seeing any renewal of mind, as Romans 12 told us. And so what happens is you drift away from the church. And in your mind, it's not that big of a deal. I just don't go anymore. But what happened was, and you know what? I would say they drifted away for a good reason. Because they didn't see what the Word of God was telling them to be true. They did not see that in the people's lives. They didn't see it in their thinking. And all of a sudden, it made them numb, because this isn't really working. There's no supernatural in what I'm learning and what I'm hearing. So the natural tendency is to drift away from that, because it's really not that important. And I agree, that is not that important without the Holy Spirit involved in the process. If we're not learning in a way that is life-changing, what's the purpose? If your thinking isn't changing, not only do you have a church full of hypocrites, right? But what's the point? There is no point. And I think that is the point of the Word of God, is to change us so that we are aligning with the genuineness of the Christian life with God's Word. And that's really what this is all about. We should be aligning our thought process to the standard that God wants us to have. And it, you know, if that isn't coming along, I get it. There's people in, you know, we're all at different levels here. Maybe this side is more than this side, or this side is more than that side. And now we got a feud going, right? But you get the idea. Each person is different on their spiritual growth. And so some people are fast, some people are slow, and some people are in the middle. And so, you know, if you're being changed, I think that's the main thing that matters. If there is a change, If you view things differently than you used to view things is a good way to gauge that. So anyways, sin disrupts all these things, as you well know. And when you don't learn or practice these things, I think you miss out on the very thing that God wants you to do, which is glorify Him and be happy and be content in this life. And, you know, those are big, big ideas. We all want to be happy. We all want to, you know, go through the test of life with some degree of success. But when we are not receiving the epinosis knowledge that we need to grow from spiritually, you lose out on all those things. And now all of a sudden things aren't working. You're relying on yourself. You're relying on your own ability. You're relying on your own power. And it never works. It always turns up frustration, anger, bitterness, because things don't seem to work ever. And why? Well, you see why. We've excluded God out of the process. Very subtly, too. Very subtly. Satan's good at what he does. Knowledge is power, right? And so when you lock onto that and say, that's what I'm going to go for, and we all know the capabilities of knowledge, it's a very handy tool. If you have it, and if you have it at the right spot, right time, right position. But imagine having it in a way that is spiritualized and spiritual information to be able to live a life that is different from just having something and knowing something. Now, it's great to know, but why not know in a way that is glorifying to God and transforming to you as a person? So, don't you want to glorify God? I know I do. But when you exclude the Holy Spirit, you lose out on those things. And then you're left with just people who appear to have an interest in God, but do they really? Well, I don't know. Paul was familiar with these people, and look what he said about him. He said, "For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with epinosis." They're excited. They're on fire. They're running around screaming about who they love. They love God. They love the Lord. But it's not rooted to any valuable information that is spiritual in nature that actually God wants us to know. So yes, this is a reality today, just like it was back here. There's no difference. He's talking about they're excited. They're gung-ho. They have the motivations there, but it's not in accordance with the information. In other words, there's two things that come out of that. It's not going to last, right? I don't know if you noticed those people that were on fire. They fizzled out, most of them, right? The other thing this is going to do is that zeal, since it's not rooted in the Word, it's not rooted in truth, they're going to not only lose their motivation, because this is all based on them. They're motivating themselves to continue. But now they've lost the motivation and they're motivated in a wrong way. So they're not being motivated by the truth of God's Word that is actually changing their life. They're motivated by something else. Maybe it's the people around them that just see them walking in the church door. Maybe that's what motivates them to go to church. Maybe it's a husband. Maybe it's a wife. Maybe it's their kids. But if God isn't motivating you, that relationship, the love that we are growing in to serve not your neighbor, not your husband or wife, God first. And then your neighbor, then your husband and wife, then your people around you. See how there's an order of things that have to happen? If you lose sight of that order, your motivation gets out of whack, right? Your motivation gets out of whack. It's never wrong to serve, but it is wrong to serve in the wrong motivation. Why do you do it? Well, there's a lot of reasons why something can be done. And so we need to... If we're going to do things right, we want to do it in a right way, which is obviously the only way. The only way, because God's standard is one, right? And He wants us to do it in His power and according to His Word, which is always through the Holy Spirit. So let's kind of bring our verses from Colossians 3:10 back into fill in the blanks. So I'll go to verse 10, and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge, there's epinosis, according to the image of the one who created him. Now, actually, let's keep going here. Verse 11, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, freeman, but Christ is all and in all. So this is, I think, bringing out a different aspect of renewal here. Renewal. If your mind is being renewed on one standard, one objective, the same contents, we're all being renewed in the same way, guess what goes away? Distinctions. Distinctions. I realize we're different. We all look different. We all eat different things. We all do different things. But guess what? We should all be aligning to the same way of thinking as far as the Word of God is concerned. That's what being like-minded believers is all about. You know, that's what makes it easy to be around someone that if they're like-minded and they think the same way, then that you know, it's so much more comfortable because you don't have to always be staying on top of your game as far as being conformed to the world. You're on the same page, right? And what that does is it all the distinctions go away. Why? Because in Christ means in Christ. There are no distinctions. That's why it's calling all these out. Race, religion, physical, spiritual. I mean, these things are, this is why this is in here, because it's just pointing out the fact that there's a renewal that happened that where the distinctions subside. So I think this also gives you a better ability to view people without that judgmental attitude. That's what this is saying. We're talking about judgment. Well, guess what? This is talking about distinctions. And when we have a bunch of distinctions in our brain, what do? We judge people based on those distinctions. Oh, well, they're Greek, they're Jew, they're circumcised, they're uncircumcised. I start to exclude them. See what I mean? It does real quick. I mean, turn on the news. They can't say something without adding color in the mix. Why? Because distinctions are just, they're soaked in them. In Christ, look what it dissolves. Distinctions. I mean, that shouldn't even be an issue. Who cares about it? Right? What's a color? It's nothing. It's how you were created. It's how you were born. Right? But guess what? We're talking about something much bigger than color. We're talking about in Christ. That's a much bigger identity than any segregation or distinction or separation that we're actually making up in our mind. I mean, that's what Satan loves to do, right? He loves to divide and conquer. So what is he going to do? He's going to divide you. He's going to attempt to divide believers against believers based on distinctions. Well, all we have to do is see right here who we have in Christ. And that's how we need to start to view people, right? Because Christ, if he would have made distinction when he was on the earth, he wouldn't have talked to half the people he was going to talk to. He wouldn't have done it. He said, oh, they're different from me. I can't talk to them. But he didn't, obviously, right? And I think this goes kind of back to what's your position and what's your responsibility of being in that position. And it's to serve God. It's to glorify God. And part of that means reaching people that don't look like you. Oh my goodness. Really? Yep. It means you got to get out of your comfort zone. Some of you have a hard time doing that, right? When some people are around you that you maybe you're not comfortable around, you're not used to this guy, you didn't grow up with that. You got to begin to grow out of that, you know, that uncomfortableness around things that are different from maybe what you're used to. Because these distinctions can cause problems in people's life. They can. And they can hold you back from serving God in a much more purposeful way or a broad way than you would have before. Because why? Because you think about it different than you should, at least according to the Word. So, and I would say this is a work in progress because there's certain things, areas that, you know, you may think bother you and this person may think bother them. So, I would say continual renewing is a solution in this area. Continual renewing. And it allows you to see things a little more clearly, at least from God's perspective and not from the world's, because they just want to segregate. Put these people over here, put these people over here. I mean, it's so obvious now, it's ridiculous. We have full dorms that are by color now in colleges. Oh, we're almost going back to segregation. I mean, it's crazy, right? We've got churches that are based on color now. Oh, in Christ, what is that? I mean, what is that? I mean, I just don't understand it. I mean, if we're going to be Christians that are based on the unity of the mind of Christ, how can we say that it's right to separate people based on something that is superficial? It's just not meaningful, right? It has a place, but it's certainly not that place. Not that level anyways, but you get the idea. Satan has plans, and he's moving forward with those plans. And that's one of the ways to do that, is to separate people, to label people in certain ways, and then to turn them against each other. But if you can see the light, well, then you can beat that system of thought. So anyways, you can see this is almost a level of discernment that we're seeing in the scripture that comes from that renewal process. God is giving you discernment, and what discernment is, it allows you to not only see the truth, but you see differently. You used to look at that person this way, but now you look at them this way. Because why? Because your priorities are different. You're focused on different things now. That isn't necessarily a bother or a heartache for you anymore. Now, it's not even an issue. And that's where I think the part of the contentment comes in the plan of God. Things that used to be an issue are no longer an issue. You've grown up enough spiritually where you can move on past that. So anyways, if you're making decisions and that decision causes someone a negative reaction, I can guarantee you it's not part of or according to the Word. If it's going to cause issues, if it's going to cause problems, then it's not according to God's plan for you. So remember, God is the judge. He's the only judge. Remember, we started with that verse, I think. So let Him sort out the distinctions. Let Him do that, right? If somebody wants to come in here and learn the Word of God, let them come in. I don't care if they got whatever they got. Doesn't matter, right? Whatever they look like. The reality is they want to learn. They want to learn the Word. And that's what we need to focus on, that oneness. So Jesus actually called the Pharisees out on this, because how were they looking? They were looking with their physical eyes and not their spiritual eyes. Big difference. And what happened? What did he do? He called them out. Right here, he said, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Of course, they weren't capable of doing that at the time, right? But this is what I've been talking about. We cannot judge according to appearance, but we have to judge with righteous judgment. Righteous judgment means something that's right, which is always based off truth. If we're going to make a judgment call just because of something that we don't like, guess what? I would say that does not fall in the righteous category, because it's not right. It's a personal opinion that we have. Maybe it's a hang-up that we have, right, that we really don't like. But it's not based on a righteous judgment that is according to the Word and being filled with the Holy Spirit. I would say this falls into the sinful area if we're judging someone based on appearance. Back to those superficial distinctions, remember? I mean, there's a lot of different ones you can make. This is just another one, appearance. Appearance. So this is another one, a verse to think about. And I think this is all going back to, we've been talking about judging. We've been talking about receiving knowledge that is in accordance with the Word of God, and how He wants us to receive it through the Holy Spirit. And if we're going to talk about judging, let's talk about doing it in a place that we are authorized to do it, which is to yourself. That's where you are authorized to judge. Of course, I would consider that a different kind of judging, obviously. But That's the part that we need to focus on, because there is a set of verses that we read at communion that talk about judging yourself. Remember, I always mention those because there was some people that were taking in the communion service wrongly. In other words, they were sinning and they were partaking in the communion service. And the scripture says this: but if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. We would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world. And this is a great verse, because in the case of judging, look at the benefit. If we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. In other words, keep account of your own personal sins in your own personal life and your own personal thought process. You know, you have to take those captive. We can't just let all thoughts fly out the window. We've got to grab them and say, okay, this is right or this is wrong. Or that was right or that was wrong. Judge yourself. Be critical. That's the only way that's going to get you to a better area, which is confession, right? That's what that boils down to. So, going back to our scripture way back when, about a week ago, I think we have a better idea that if we judge ourselves rightly of our own sins, not worry about everybody else's, we can more better understand what this verse is saying. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Seeing clearly is a very important part of this verse. We want to be able to see clearly, which I think goes back to what Jesus said, to make righteous decisions, to make a righteous, discerning judgment call instead of being critical and making decisions that are out of place with where we should be. It's out of our bounds, right? So what are we going to do? We're going to go back to self. And we need to judge self, judge the body rightly, so that you will not be judged. So anyway, I would say this is the gracious approach. But it must include, don't forget, don't take out the piece that the beginning part of this, that renewal of that transformation, that change that has to happen because of the knowledge, the epinosis that God wants you to receive through the filling of the Holy Spirit. That's the real life change. Otherwise, when you have just gnosis, what are you going to get? A bunch of judgmental people that are apparently going to church. They appear to be growing, but there's no growth happening. And now you have a bunch of hypocrites, just like this verse is saying. They're telling you to take the speck out of your eye, but they have the log in their eye and they don't see it. And you can tell them about it, but they said, nope, they just deny it, right? So anyways, I hope you got a little bit out of that, but that's the only thing that's going to change people, is to receive the Word of God according to the way He says to receive it. And so with that being said, let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You so much. Thank You for the amazing truth that You've given us and that You have us learn on a daily basis. And I pray that we can continue in a way that is just meaningful in our own lives, and also to focus in areas where we may be weak, we may be lacking, and we may be holding ourselves back from growing in a way that is affecting other people. And I just thank You for being able to see those places, and we just continue to grow, continue to renew our minds. And we just most of all thank You for Jesus Christ, who died for the world and gave us that eternal salvation by grace. We thank You so much, and we ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.